I'm not a loser, but sometimes I do loser things.
In the event that this fails, they'll never be able to come to me and say, hey, remember that podcast you did that didn't go so well? No, that was our podcast. We did that.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to episode 24 of the In My Own Words podcast. Round of applause. Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Easter Sunday. I feel like that's important to say. Today is Easter Sunday. And it's a really special Easter Sunday because the Pacers are playing today. And I hope that just as Jesus was resurrected, we can resurrect this series, because right now we're losing 3-0. And I don't want to start this podcast off on a bad note, but 3-0. Now, I will be real with you. I had realistic expectations going into this series. I know that we are down our star player. I know that we are not the team that we started out the season as. I know that we are going up against a monster in the Celtics with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. They were a monster last year without him. So I knew that we were going to have a rough time. I was just hoping that we could win a game. I'm going to the game today, and I hope that we get a victory. But I'm going to be honest, my expectations aren't very high. But I will say, regardless of how things shake out, if you're a Pacers fan, we have a team this year that you can be proud of for sure. They fought through adversity. They fought through a lot of things that other teams, I feel, would have melted under and not even made the playoffs. Not only did they make the playoffs, they made a good seeding, and we just got a tough draw. We got a tough draw with the Celtics. And so, anyway, happy Sunday. Happy Easter Sunday. And you guys know I record the podcast on Saturday, right? I record the podcast on Saturday. After all that Sunday talk, I tried to keep up with it. I don't feel like I have to fake the funk with you guys or the people that listen to me that support me. I don't feel like I have to fake the funk. You guys know that I record the podcast on Saturday. And this Saturday is 4:20. This Saturday is 4:20. I have a message for all of my 4:20 people. I think it's very important. Now, I need to know this, because I'm not like the coolest guy. I don't have all of the coolest information or the coolest background. I didn't do everything that everybody did when they were doing what they did, things that we won't talk about. But I do want to know, what is the background of 4:20? Like, I obviously know what it's for. I know what happens. But why is that the day? I should have Googled that. But if you know that, drop a comment on YouTube, drop a comment on IG, tweet me at Tony R. Sanders. Let me know, like, why is 4:20 that day? I know for most of you, it's just the day every day. But why is 4:20 that day? But I have a message for you guys that I would like to share. And it's from a familiar voice.
Stay off the weed.
He put a little extra on that one. Stephen A is always extra. He always puts a little extra on there. But happy 4:20 to you guys. Whatever you guys are out there doing, I hope that you're doing it safely and legally. And I hope that you are doing it in a very, very responsible way. I have never been a drug user or a weed smoker, not for medicinal purposes, not for recreational purposes, but I don't judge those who partake. I don't partake myself, but I don't judge those who partake. If that's what you feel like you want to do or you need to do as a responsible taxpaying adult, I had to throw those caveats in there, then do what you need to do. But I will tell y'all, looking on the internet today, looking on Instagram, I just been following the hashtag 4:20 and every other variation of that hashtag. And some of y'all sound crazy. Some of y'all sound crazy. Now, some of y'all sound dumb just as like you probably normally sound that and just blaming it on weed today. But some of you guys sound legitimately crazy. This is what some of you guys sound like trying to be deep while you're high. Don't you hate the person that's fake deep while they're high? When they're sober, they have nothing deep to say at all. When they're sober, they have nothing intellectual, nothing thought-provoking to say, nothing inspiring to say. And then all of a sudden, they hit the blunt and they turn into Tony Robbins.
You know what? In life, man, don't cover the charge by... Don't charge the cover, just the book. Aye, man. Don't book the cover. Book. Aye. Don't, whatever. Don't do it. Just don't
wow.
do it.
Whatever.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Whatever. Don't do it. That's hilarious. I've listened to that clip probably 6 times today, and every time it makes me laugh. But that's what some of y'all sound like today on 420, trying to figure out how you're going to inspire the world on Instagram. I'm sick of these Instagram inspirers. I get the people that want to inspire every now and then, but if you want to make it, you know, your thing on Instagram to be this inspirational person, especially if you can't do it with a sober mind, just save it. We have enough inspiration. People are inspired enough. It's interesting. Instagram is an interesting platform. Anyway, happy Sunday to everybody. If you are watching me on YouTube and you like this hoodie that I have on, this We Are Not the Same hoodie, check the link in the bio. It should be in the show notes. If you're listening to the podcast, it'll be in the description if you're watching this on YouTube. And check out my man DJ AI. He hooked me up with his hoodie, and I wanted to support my guy. So shout out to him. Check out the merch. Book him for your events and your parties if you're in the Midwest. Definitely check my man out. He's going to do a good job. Listen, got an important topic that I want to talk to you guys about today. I want to talk to you guys about the importance of Black representation. Now, there's been a lot going on this week. There's been a lot going on this year. As a matter of fact, we can back it up a couple of months. And before I go into the details, I feel like I need to level set with everyone on what the definition is of Black representation. Black representation is this. As a society, right? Speaking to America, in America as a society, we don't do a good enough job of representing Black people properly, especially for all the good that we've done in this country and for this country. We don't do a good enough job of representing that, right? It's not shown well in our school system. It's not shown well in the movie industry. It's not shown well in the music industry. It's not shown well in the history books. It's just not shown well. Black representation is not something that is commonly recognized or seen in our society. You could be a non-Black person, right? And go through your entire life, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and never interact with a Black person. You may see a Black person on TV, or you may see a Black person on the news. You may see one on the internet, but you can go your whole life and not interact with Black people. It was so funny to talk to my cousins when they went away to college, my older cousins, and they came back and they told me about these Black people that are these white people that never met Black people before. Like, they just looked at them as if they were some type of I was going to say zoo animal, but I don't think that's the proper. It wasn't anything like demeaning or negative. It was just like, wow, I've never seen that in real life. It was almost like this video I saw on YouTube of a liger. Have you guys saw this video? It's like a lion and a tiger, but it's like 6 feet tall. It was like literally like 6'3" or something like that, you know, 900 pounds or something crazy. And it was like, wow, I didn't even know those existed in real life. If one of those walked in right now, I'd probably be terrified. There's no probably. I'd definitely be terrified. I'd definitely, because the only thing I know about a liger is that they're way bigger than me. They're stronger than me. They're faster than me, and they look very dangerous. And as soon as that liger starts to go liger, I'm done, right? And a lot of the stories they were bringing back to me from college were just that. Like, wow, I've never seen a Black person. I have so many questions. I am a little afraid. I'm a little intrigued. I'm a little bit of everything right now. I have so many questions. And that is that shows the issue that we have in our society from a lack of Black representation. That is also why, as Black people, you see how we are very accepting and very forgiving, right? We are very slow to cancel our own. When we have people, celebrities that are maybe doing some things they shouldn't do, doing some wild and crazy things. Even to think about the support of R. Kelly after all the his allegations, after all he's done. It is just now in 2019, after a miniseries, shout out to Dream Hampton on Lifetime, I believe it was. Now people are like, yeah, we probably need to get R. Kelly out of here. We've been knowing he's been trash since the early 2000s. But the problem is we don't have enough representation of positive representation of what success looks like, positive representation of what we can achieve, what's possible for us, that when we get someone, even if they're not the greatest, we hold on so tight to them because it's not often that we get someone. That's why Black people are so accepting of everything. That's why we want to invite everybody to the cookout, because we want you to see us and see us as good and see us as great and not see us as whatever the news wants to represent us as, right? And so when we started out this year, it was not a good year for Black representation. I'm gonna be honest, Black people, I was nervous. I was nervous. It means so much. You ever been, if you're a Black person, you're gonna immediately get what I'm saying. If you're not a Black person, just think about the interactions that you have with Black people or things that you heard. If you ever seen a Black person see another Black person do something stupid and they get mad as if they knew that person, that's because a lack of Black representation. That's because we know that person, however they're representing their skin color right now, some white people, some non-Black people, that's the only image of a Black person they're ever going to get. It reinforces the negative stereotypes that already exist in society. And so it makes us mad because when the next white person, they look at me, they're going to see the idiot that did something before me. That's why it makes us so mad. And so we started out this year in January, and the things that were dominating the headlines were all around Soulja Boy. Young Draco, he's all over every news outlet wearing the same musty, dirty, dingy Gucci headband, dissing everybody, talking crazy, barely putting sentences together. He's walking around with a knockoff version of the Nintendo. Nintendo is like actively suing him. He act like he has no idea what's going on. And he just wasn't representing his skin color well, in my opinion. You guys may disagree, right? But in my opinion, he was not representing his skin color well. And so that made me nervous. I'm like, all right, here we go. Now I got to go to work and hear the fake conversation. Hey, did you see Soulja Boy on The Breakfast Club? No, I didn't. Yes, I did, but I'm not going to admit it to you because I don't want to talk about that, because that's not the type of representation I want for my skin color. It's not Soulja Boy, especially not when he's acting like that. Soulja Boy doing something dope, if he would have released a new song or if he would have did something great for the community, all those things, that would have been great. But him telling horrible stories about how he almost lost his life 9 times and got shot out 35 times and he shot back 2 times and wop, 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 Draco this and Drake, like, that's not the type of representation that I want out there of my people. And so January was rough, 2019. Then we got into February and I'm like, you know what? We're going to recover. I'm not too worried about January. February, we're going to recover because it's going to be Black History Month. All this great energy and information about these wonderful and amazing Black people are going to be out there. Our representation is going to go up a couple levels. Then what happened? You guessed it, Jussie. Jussie decided out of nowhere, nobody asked him anything, nobody applied the pressure. He decided out of nowhere that he just wanted to lie about his life. He wanted to go beat himself up and then lie about it to us. That's the worst kind of liar. The worst kind of liar is the Jussie kind of liar. It's the kind of liar where, one, you're bad at it, right? If you can't be good, at least be good at it. One, you're bad at it. And two, it wasn't forced. I don't think it's ever a good time for an adult, especially a man, to lie. Just tell the truth. And if you're living in your life, you're living your life in a way that you can't tell the truth, then you might need to change your life or change the people around you or change the expectations of those that are around you, right? But if somebody applies the pressure to you and you're in a pressure situation, your back's against the wall and you lie, okay, I'm not that mad at you. I get it. I could at least logically, intellectually understand why you did it. But nobody at all was talking to Jesse. Nobody, I'll be honest, I didn't even know who Jesse was. I don't watch Empire. I've never seen an episode. I don't even know what other credits he has. The only thing I know about this guy is that he's a horrible liar. He's a god-awful liar. So not only did he give his skin color a bad name, but ladies, just to let you know, men are better liars than Jesse. We can do a better job at doing the wrong thing than what Jesse did in that situation. And so that took us, if our black representation was a stock, we just took a dip with Jesse. We definitely took a dip. So we started out the year with Soulja Boy acting crazy with the same Gucci headband on. Then we go into Jesse lying for no reason, making up a search engine optimization lie where he used all the trigger keywords that he knows would rile up people and get people behind him. And everybody jumped out of the window. And you got Taraji P. Henson posting, you know, in favor of him, and at the bottom saying, check out his music and make sure this song goes platinum. And it was just all kinds of nasty, right? Again, not great black representation. And this is going all the way to the top, right? This is on CNN. This is breaking through as pop culture, not just within the black community, not just within the hip hop community or the empire. This is on, you know, CNN. This is Fox News now. This is a big deal. And again, we're not being properly represented as a people, right? And then March comes. And in March, Nipsey dies. And as Nipsey dies, although his star rose and a lot of people understood more about what he did and who he was and how he impacted the community, people still looked at it and saw black on black crime. One day I need to do a podcast on that. I need to do a podcast on black crime. I'll give you my stance on it. Here's my stance on black crime. You ready? Proximity. It's as simple as that. You are more likely to get into a beef with someone who lives next door to you than someone that lives on the other side of town. I'm just not going to see you that much, right? You're more likely growing up as a kid to get into an argument or a fight with your brother or sister who you're with every day than even your cousin or even someone that you see on the weekends. I won't go down that path, but that's what a lot of people saw. That's, well, they can't expect us to care if they keep killing each other. Right? That story went global, international. It's so crazy how that stuff went so viral, but all the amazing things that he was doing before his untimely demise didn't. That's what I mean by black representation. Now, I'm not placing fault here, too. I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. I'm not saying that it's anybody's fault in particular that we are not represented properly. In certain cases, it is, right? In certain cases, we were etched out of history. The great things that people did were completely etched out of history. Some people only know, when it comes to great black representation, the great things that black people have done, they only know a couple people. They know Martin Luther King and Barack Obama. That's all they know. They know the 1960s and 2008. There's a lot that happened and a lot of black excellence and black greatness that happened between Martin Luther King and Barack Obama. But people don't know that because it's not properly represented in the media. It's not properly represented in the movies. That's why I think great people like Dream Hampton, Jordan Peele, Spike Lee, those people are so dope and need to be supported because they try to do their best to get black stories out. Ava DuVernay is another one. They're doing the best that they can to get these black stories out where you can actually see them happening. Shout out to Jazz Fly. She does a great job. She's one of the writers on This Is Us. My wife is really into this show. I am kind of into it. I haven't watched every episode, but there's a lot of times where it's on and I'll see it. And the show is incredible from all angles. Everything that I can see so far is incredible. But Jazz does a great job on that show. And she's not just telling a black story. She's telling a story of all people, but she's also highlighting people that happen to be black within the story, right? And I know she works on the show just as a whole, but it's great to have that representation. Again, a black writer in the room when we're making this content helps. It's extremely important, right? It's hard to be something that you can't see, right? It has a different impact when I tell my kids, which I won't, that you could be president one day. It has a different impact now because they've seen a president who looks like them. It's a hard sell for me in the early 90s to say you could be president. And I look up the list of the presidents, the 38 or whatever it was at the time. And I'm like, no, I don't think I can be. I'm not represented here. Right. It's hard to tell a woman that you could be the president when we haven't seen that before. Representation is extremely important. And so we got to March and our representation as a people looks horrible right now. It looks like ignorance. It looks like senseless violence. It looks like a lack of integrity, a lack of creativity. It just looks really, really bad. But then April comes around, my birthday month. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and get a round of applause for April. We're going to get into April. Because April comes, and I'm telling you, it's only 20 days into April. We still got another 10 days left. We still have all of May. I feel like we're about to ramp it up. But man, are we killing it in April. Shout out to black people, man. We are killing it. Let me do another round of applause. We are killing it in April. Let me break it down to you. Let me break it down for you. Here is the headliner. I'm going to go just like I would on a bill of a show. I'm going to start with the headliners and I'm going to back up to some of the opening acts. Here's the headliner for April. You may have heard of him before. Hailing from Nazareth. His name is Jesus. He is going to represent us well this month. Matter of fact, his day is today. The day that you're listening to this, April 21st, it's Easter. And he did something that no one else has been able to do. He died and came back on his own will. Now, you don't have to believe that. I don't really care. But shout out to Jesus for headlining April. If that ain't great black representation, I don't know what else is. I don't know what else is. And I feel bad because I'm talking about Jesus and my pettiness in the inside of me is just jumping up for joy because I know there's some people that don't think Jesus was black and they're going to hear this and they're going to see this. And you might be triggered by now, but guess what? I don't care. If you've seen somebody that had, feet and skin like brass and hair like wool, I've seen that before. It's in the mirror, except for the hair part. I guess you can count the beard. But shout out to Jesus. Jesus is doing great in April for us. He does great every day for us, but having a headlining like Easter coming up, that's pretty big. Even though he has to fight with the bunny, which is another weird thing, that's pretty big. So we got that going for us. Then we have another resurrection. We started out with the first resurrection, the resurrection, right? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But then we have another resurrection. We have a brother that's been down and out for years. Woman turned his back on him. All his other women turned their back on him. His back turned his back on him. And then he came back and he won the Masters. Shout out to Tiger Woods. Let me give him a round of applause. Maybe. There we go. Here's the interesting thing about Tiger Woods. Black people in general, and I'm going to generalize, and this is going to be very stereotypical, but if you can see me, if you're watching the video, I'm black. I can do it. black people don't really care about golf. Not really. You've seen a lot of black people that don't care about golf, never mention golf, never go play golf, never watch golf, never tweeted about golf, never Instagram about golf, shouting out Tiger Woods. You have to ask yourself why that is. Why would that be? Why is everybody so excited for Tiger? Think about what Tiger has done. Now, this is not to tear Tiger down, but think about what Tiger has done. Tiger was a black kid growing up, right? He claimed to be black. He said he wanted to win the Masters because they don't really allow black people into golf. And if he won the Masters, that would kind of cement him there forever. And then he became super successful, started to win tournaments, won the Masters, said he wasn't black. Let's not forget that part. Said he wasn't black. He didn't identify as black. Right? Became one of the greatest golfers, if not the greatest golfer ever. And then it all came falling down. Found out he was cheating on his wife multiple times. Very badly, might I say. There's no good way to cheat on your wife. But if you are calling your side chicks, leaving voicemails saying, hey, it's me, Tiger. Delete this. My wife found my phone. That's what you decided to do. You called the voicemail and left. Who leaves a voicemail anyway? So he does that. It gets very, very ugly. His wife takes in just poetic fashion. She takes a golf club and tries to take his head off with it. It's like, yeah, I'll show you a driver. Hand me the 9-iron. And she swung right for his head, tore up his car, which really didn't do anything to him, right? Someone gets mad at me and they tear up my car, that's going to hurt me. If someone tears up Tiger's car, Buick will just send him another one. That's how it works. He's Tiger Woods. He tears up his car. He loses his wife. He has to admit publicly, because he's going through all this public shame and ridicule, he has to admit publicly that he has a sex addiction. Which to me just means he's a man, and he has to go to Mississippi to go to, like, I don't know, what is it, Sex Addiction Anonymous? I don't know where you go. And he goes through that whole thing, and then he comes back to golf eventually, and he sucks. Like, he's just not good at it at all. He's not the Tiger Woods that we once knew. And then his back goes out and he can barely walk. And he's wondering if he'll even be able to play with his kids again, not let alone play golf. And then he has the horrible DUI picture where a year ago he took a bunch of medicine and he mixed it with the wrong things. And he got in his car and drove and didn't know where he was or when he was. And he had all of that, right? Not to mention, he said he wasn't black. That alone, if the story ends right there, and for a while it did, no black person wanted to claim Tiger. Nobody wanted to claim Tiger because he didn't want to be down with us. He was saying that he wasn't black, right? So we had this idea of in our head of black excellence. Yes, we are showing you guys that we can be great at anything. We can be great at golf. It's not just football and basketball. We could be great at anything. And then he disowns us. And now, fast forward to 2019, he has this incredible comeback. He resurrects his career, at least for the time being, 1 week away from Easter. Matter of fact, it would have been lit if he would have resurrected his career Easter weekend. That would have been crazy. They should have moved the Masters back a little bit. They should have moved it back 1 week to see Tiger resurrect his career on Easter. The marketing would have been genius. Nike and the Masters would have got paid. But anyway, that's beside the point I'm making. The point that I'm making is this. The reason why black people cheered him on, some people even cried when he won the Masters, because it represented a level of representation and hope for our community that wasn't present before. And is not always present. One of the biggest things that the black community actually wants is just for people to see us. And to see us in a positive light. To see us not as a monolith. No, we have way more options than to rap, throw a football, or dribble a basketball. We have way more options than that. We can be a CEO. We could own our own business. We could be on the executive chair of a board. We could be the greatest golfer that ever lived. Not only can we do different things, we can dominate in those things that we do. And so even though Tiger Woods rejected our invite to the barbecue, people are willing to go pick him up and bring him now. And not only is he invited back to the barbecue, he's the headliner now. The party don't start till Tiger gets there now. Because that's how important black representation is to us. That's how important it is to us. It's not just, people. I saw people pulling out golf clubs that I've never even knew owned a set of golf clubs. People were going to Goodwill. They were going to Dick's Sporting Goods. They were going to Play It Again Sports. They were going to all these places getting golf clubs that they're never going to use, by the way. They're going to be right back on Craigslist in 2 weeks. Because Tiger led them with so much hope and inspiration by winning the Masters, by being great, by having great black representation. That's how much of a dire need we are for this. We'll take anybody, even if they don't want to be in our circle. We'll just accept them because we need it so much.
Breaking news.
All right, I got breaking news. Listen, right before the podcast started, I talked to Michael Jackson. I talked to him from the dead. It's an Indiana thing. You guys wouldn't understand. And he told me to tell y'all that Beyonce is the greatest performer living and the greatest performer who has ever lived. I said it.
That's what Michael Jackson told me to tell y'all. If you got a problem with it, you can take it up with him. Listen, I watched her documentary thinking about how we've been greatly represented in April. I watched her documentary called Homecoming on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. And I can tell you this, I've never listened to a full Beyonce album. Like, I've never sat with an album from Beyonce and listened to it from front to back. Unless you count the Carters, which I don't, because that wasn't a Beyonce album. It was Jay-Z and Beyonce. I'm a big Hov fan. So there you have it. I've never listened to a full album of hers. When I tell you that sitting on my couch watching her performance was nothing short of incredible. I've never seen anything like it. The amount of preparation that she put into it, the amount of thoughtfulness, the amount of preparation from her team, the amount of preparation from set design, from choreography, from the songs. It was so crazy to not have heard a full album, but knew words and rhythms to almost every song. And the way that she put on a show was unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. Beyonce is the greatest performer of all time. And that's coming from somebody who's not a Beyonce fan. That's coming from somebody who would not consider themselves a proud member of the Beehive. I'm not. Like I told you, that's not my thing. But when you see what she does on stage, she, in this documentary, so I guess I should tell you what the documentary is. In this documentary, it shows how she did her 2-hour performance at Coachella last summer, right? They nicknamed it Beychella. She took over Coachella, and it was incredible to see how she prepared for 8 months after having children, by the way, after bearing twins, after having an emergency C-section. Now, Michael has had some surgeries, but he ain't had an emergency C-section and had to go back on stage. Like, let's just keep it real. If we're gonna keep it real, let's keep it all the way real. After having a C-section, bearing twins, she takes 8 months of her life where she wants to be with her family, whether she wants to be with her kids. She has to take breaks to breastfeed the babies. Then comes back to the stage, got to get her body back in shape, got to get her steps down, the choreography down. She wants the right camera placement, the right lighting, the right dance. Like, she's into every single detail. She prepares for 8 months for one show. You want to know what my preparation was for today's podcast? About 5 minutes. I thought about something and was like, yeah, I think I could talk about that for 30 minutes. Let's go record. That was it. To see that level of preparation and to see it pay off so well. Like, I know it was edited and they put it all together, but there wasn't a step missed. And what I love about it, and this is what I love about most artists that have the level of success that Beyonce has, right? And not just from a pop standpoint, but one that have some, what's the word I'm looking for? Their content has some meat to it. That's not the right word, but that feels like the right word for right now. It has some substance to it. That's the word that I'm looking for, meaning that it works on multiple layers. That's what I love about Jay-Z so much. You can hear a Jay-Z song today that you heard 10 years ago and hear something completely different because it's layered. To see how layered her performance was, that it wasn't just, I'm going to go out here and dance to some music and sing some songs, that it represented so much for what we've been talking about for the last 20, 30 minutes, right? Black representation. One of the quotes from the film was, "You can't be what you don't see." And so it's important for me to go out on this stage and show you guys what's possible, show you guys what excellence can really look like, show you guys how far you can take your craft. And if I'm some silly country girl from Houston and I did this, then you guys can do greater. And so when you look at her performance and you see how excellent it is, you know that it's not just her ego driving that. You know it's a higher purpose driving that. You know that there's something deeper, something greater going on, something bigger than her driving her performance. And when I looked at it, even the way that they mix certain songs together, even the way where she paid homage to her Houston roots, even the way where she shouted out Jay-Z in certain songs
and mix one of his songs with her songs and the live band and how it actually looked like a HBCU homecoming. Like, it was just one of the dopest things I think I've ever seen. Now, I'm only basing this off of one performance, but that one performance was epic and historic enough for me not to need to see anything else. And it also let me know the next time she is anywhere near my city, I need to go check her out because it was incredible. One conundrum that I have, though, even though she's doing all of these great things for, you know, people that look like us and women, women empowerment, women bosses. I love to see that. One conundrum I had was, how do you go to the Beyonce show as a man and not look like you like men? Does that make sense? There were some guys, there were some guys on the video, on the documentary, several of them actually, and everyone they showed, first of all, they were so exciting. You thought they thought they were going to faint. Like, I thought some of them were literally going to die of excitement, but they all look like they did. They had a different appetite than what I had. I don't know if that's, I'm trying to find the best way to say this. This wasn't, I told you how long I prepared for this podcast. This wasn't like the I didn't do this in pre-production and think about what I was going to say. They seem to have a different appetite for intimacy than what I currently possess. But they really enjoyed the show. And I want to know how I can go to a Beyonce show and enjoy the show the way that they enjoyed the show without looking like I like, you know, that type of show. Not that there's anything wrong with that type of show, but you guys get what I'm saying, right? It's just an interesting thing. She doesn't, I think that's one of the reasons why I never listen to Beyonce. She doesn't make music for me. A lot of her music is about me. And a lot of it is like, she's dissing me right now, but it's just so incredible. And it's so important now. Like, I feel like this documentary elevates, you know, what she means to people so much higher than what it was before, that it's super important for me now to support her. Again, I'm not joining the Beehive. I'm still probably not going to listen to a full album. I do think that there's an album coming after this. She had a song in the end credits that I believe was a new song. It sounded fairly new. It had Tay Keith producing it, which I didn't even think to put those two things together with Tay Keith and Beyonce, but whatever. And so that sounds like new music is coming out soon. Beyonce normally doesn't do anything halfway. When she moves a lot. She just landed the Adidas deal. Then she just announced the Netflix deal, and then the documentary came. I'm assuming that this summer music is coming too, so I'll probably listen to that. But I just want to say that for as far as April goes, as far as Black representation goes, we're doing a really good job. We're doing a really good job with positive light, Black representation, because first quarter was rough. January, February, March is really rough. April, we recovered. We bounced back. I'm super proud of us. And look, I think our run is going to go at least until June, because we got the NBA playoffs going on right now. And, well, I don't think that the champions are going to be out of Denver or Utah. Even if it is, you got Donovan Mitchell. You know what I mean? I don't think that the Celtics are going to go and the MVP is going to be Gordon Hayward. All I'm saying is it's super important for me, myself, for my children, for other children that look like my children, to see things in the world that have been accomplished and achieved in a positive light by somebody who looks like them. Because that image, that representation, whether it's in a book, in a movie, on TV, in a music video, in a song, and on a billboard, on the news, wherever it is, that positive representation gives us so much hope and so much inspiration to strive to do more, to be more, to impact more, that it's critical that we have it. And that's why one Black person in general normally represents all of us, because we don't have enough representatives out there. And so my part of the solution is for me to try to do my best to be a positive representative and also highlight the people like the guy who made this shirt, to also be positive representatives, to show people what's possible, to show people how far we can push it and how far we can actually go to achieve things greater than what we see and greater than what we have seen with our own eyes. So I appreciate you guys joining me for another episode of the In My Own Words podcast. Make sure you check me out on YouTube. Go to YouTube right now and search Tony R. Sanders. You can also search In My Own Words podcast. You will see the last three episodes, including this one, full video on YouTube. Also check me out on Instagram at Tony R. Sanders and check me out on Twitter at Tony R. Sanders. Until next week, I'll see you guys. Peace.